Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special edition, our weekly edition of Living Loud Nation for Wednesday morning, April 5th, 2017. I am your host, Rob Smirnoff-Puzzle, and as always, our new co-host joining us, Travis Steele.
Yeah, what's everybody? What's up out there?
Tonight, I thought we would just pay a couple of moments tribute. It was 23 years ago on this day that Kurt Cobain was murdered. I don't believe that he committed suicide. I've read many documentaries done extensive research regarding this particular issue, and my foregone conclusion is he was murdered. It was a setup. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out documentaries such as Kurt and Courtney. There was one they put out a couple years ago. I can't remember the name of it. But definitely, if you don't check out anything else that's relating to the life and legacy of Kurt Cobain, who his life was taken away from us way too early at the age of 27, 23 years ago on this day. They found his body on April 1994. I know you're... Travis, I know you weren't a big mark before we got on to the line. I know that you said that you weren't a real big Nirvana mark, but I mean, do you have any stories or anything you want to add before we go into the subject of tonight?
It's Kurt Cobain, just like another musician that got murdered. You remember Dimebag Darrell, of course. Remember he got murdered when he was playing the Damage Plan on that night in Columbus, Ohio. You know, it was
December 8, 2004, but go ahead.
Yeah. Plus, you know, he was playing with his band. You know, it was pretty much one of a Pantera fan, a diehard Pantera fan, they said that did it. And yeah, it's sad that situations like that gotta happen, man. But for Kurt Cobain, it almost seems like it was a setup, you know. Even I don't know if you know about this, but here in Dallas, Texas, there was rumors that are going around at Trees, one of the historic music venues in Dallas. Kurt Cobain got his butt kicked on stage. He was acting all like douchey or cocky to some guy there, and some guy in the, you know, in the front just got fed up with them, apparently got into it, of course, and got broken up. But there is video about it online, to be honest.
But, I remember about that concert that they played back in, what was it, 91?
Yeah. All right, there was a guy, I don't want to say his name, but I actually, he still hangs around the Deep Ellum area, and I heard it was him. I heard it was him who did it. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care anymore. I mean, it was a sad scenario. I know I hate to say this. We both lived our life, outlived Kurt Cobain in our lives, even though musicians. I mean, hell, we're just making a little blog talk radio trying to come up.
No, I'm a musician. I don't know about you, but I'm a musician.
Well, I am a musician. I did play drums, but, you know, it's like I've told you in the past, I had a hard time trying to find people to play with, you know. And that's a problem in the musician scene, is getting people to dedicate, because everybody these days acts like, and even national musicians, even Kurt Cobain would have knew how it is, getting people to just dedicate and be and play music with you. Everybody always wants to act like, oh, I got my family, I got my, you know, I don't got time to be a musician. You know what? So be it. You know what? You're a fake musician, then you're undedicated. But no, I just laid the sticks down and laid the skins down, and I focus on other things. You know, I focus on other things in life. So yeah. So anyways, let's go ahead and talk about something else before, you know, because we only have like 30 minutes. 5 minutes on this.
Well, we got 45 technically, but yeah, but as far as live on the air, yeah, we only have 30 minutes. This is just until I get another. I'm looking at some other options as far as podcasting.
Yep.
Where we'll actually record the show.
And do it
the right way. As far as like recording the show, editing the show, and then post it online.
Yep. Oh, do you know, I don't know if you are, and a lot of people out there, if you're a fan of them, I'm a huge fan of NFL fan. And did you know that Tony Romo is going to broadcasting, the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback? He's becoming a broadcaster now. He's not going to be a what are we saying?
This is my opinion about Tony Romo. I used to be a Cowboys fan, but I got fed up with the bipolarness of the Cowboys. But, you know, one minute they're good, they're a solid team, then the next minute they suck. The Mavericks are the exception. I've been a lifelong Mavericks fan, you know, since I was a kid.
I hate to tell you, man, and I don't want to sound biased to people. This may get some feel hate towards me on this, but look, I was a lifelong. I used to love the Mavericks too, okay? Because they're a hometown team, you know. Dirk Nowitzki,
not to interrupt you, but they did win the NBA championship on my 30th. On my 30th birthday, they won it on Sunday, June 12th, 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I was actually fixing to go out of town the next day for that. I was going up to the state of Minnesota, but I went to the parade, actually. I actually attended the Mavericks parade that year. So I got to see the parade and see everybody, you know, and see a lot of Mavs fans. Of course, I had my Dirk. I still got a Dirk Nowitzki jersey. But no,
I got one somewhere. I got my
I hate to tell you this. Yeah, but I hate to tell you this, man, but I am not a fan of Mark Cuban, and here's a few reasons why.
Okay.
Mark Cuban is not what you think he is. He's a wannabe hero, because if you want me to go political-wise, I mean, it's not because he bashed Donald Trump. It's more because, you know, I don't want to sound biased, but he went out and funded and donated a lot of money to only a certain group or a certain group of people to beef up extra security in an area, which is the Cedar Springs, Oak Lawn area. And we all, if you're from Dallas, you know what that area is. It's we call it the Gayborhood. And when there was trouble in Deep Ellum, where the local night music scene is, where a lot of us like to play, like to go see bands and stuff like that, when there was trouble down there, Cuban was nowhere to be found. Where's his money donating to go to that area to beef up security down there? Now, granted, they do have security down there, but the Deep Ellum community, the bars and nightclubs in the committee down there is the ones who's paying for it, not Cuban.
Well,
I kind of find Cuban being a hypocrite.
Well, let me do this. Let me play devil's advocate for a second, Travis. All right. Now, has Mark Cuban, because this is the first I've actually heard of this. I don't really follow too much local news. You probably follow the shit a little more than I do, but I guess it does affect me because I do live in the city of Dallas. But let me ask you this: has Mark Cuban gone on record in an interview or otherwise stating why he hasn't put funding towards defunding as far as security and police awareness and things of that nature?
No, he hasn't, but he admitted that he wanted to help protect to get the Cedar Springs, Oaklawn area of Dallas, and he more than he did. And, you know, when you have another area, because let's be honest, there is a gay. I mean, I'm not gay myself. You know, we're both MGTOWs, but we're not gay. You know, we love women. I had two women fucking last week, actually, I chatted with, I had a conversation with, and one of them wants to meet with me again. But, dude, there's a gay bar in it's called Red Light. It's over off of fucking Main Street in the Malcolm X area over there. But you know, he hasn't really went on subject of why he didn't do it. But it's kind of fun. It's just kind of obvious. Okay, well, where's his help for the protection for the Deep Ellum area that started having a spike in crime, which Deep Ellum's actually starting to have. Deep Ellum has been making a comeback because they're trying to turn it to a basically a uptown 2.0 with all like a bunch of shops, like candy shops and clothing stores and, you know, random stores.
You know, when I worked for Lyft and Uber, and I would often frequent that area, you know, to pick up and drop off people. I noticed. It wasn't too long ago because I was always down the street from it, but I noticed like the scene from the early to mid 2000s, the Deep Ellum that I remember, was the late 90s, early 2000s to mid 2000s. Every club was jumping. They had there was three lanes of cars, and everyone would turn around and this is back when, you know, systems and rims are really the thing where, you know, you have like your best boom, you know, your best 12s and 10s, and you actually were trying to holler at some hoes while you were doing it at the same time.
When women were actually easier to talk to than today. Oh God.
You can't deny
that.
Times were better back then, man. But now it's just like you gotta watch what you say. You gotta watch how you approach a woman. You can't call them a bitch because then they'll say that, oh, he's threatening me, and everything's a fucking threat. I will talk about some legal issues that I'm dealing with. I'll talk to you offline about it. And there's a reason why I'm not saying, you know, those last couple of days.
You
already
told me
really
offline
talking
about it. You've already
well,
talked
to
me
more
offline, Rob.
Yeah, but there's more to it, though.
I'll talk
to you more offline about it. I don't want to.
We don't need to air it out. Yeah. Anyways, it's just like, you know, of course, you know, another thing about Deep Ellum becoming back is, you know, there's a lot of hot chicks down there. I mean, shit, it's like when I go out, it's like, you know, I'm looking left and right. You see nothing girls in fucking skinny tight jeans, fucking just banging like ass, like, you know, women that both of us would love to fucking get in bed and fucking get laid bomb in a second. I mean, that's just how it is. But then again, you know, when you see women like that, then here comes all the snotty attitude, the, oh, I ain't going to talk to you because you're overweight or you're not rich, you don't spend enough money on me, and yada, 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 all kinds of fucking bullshit, double standard excuses that women preserve these days, which a lot of MGTOWs go against. Yeah. I don't know, man. You know,
that,
you know what? Speak.
Not to interrupt you, but that brings me to a story that's a true story. I won't mention names. We'll just call him Jordan, who's a good friend of mine, and the BFF.
Yeah.
Now, I hooked them up together a couple years ago, and the date went well, and the shit that she told me that he was doing for her or whatever was, like, totally not like him. And what she wanted from him was to spend time together and spend money and going out to eat and buying her stuff, because I hang out with her enough, and I've known him for 11 years, so I know what kind of person she is. And he ain't that type of person. You know, he's more like us. He's just like, Jordan would rather have someone that he can fuck us up on a constant basis, two or three times a week. None of this let's be boyfriend and girlfriend type shit. Now, other than his mental versus her feminism, I mean, they are a good match in a lot of ways because they have a lot of things in common. They have a lot of similarities. But at the end of the day, it's really up to her to what she and him want. And ideology wise, you know, he was having a lot of family problems with his I think his grandmother was sick or something. And, you know, family comes first. And so in his eyes, he feels that she was trying to get him to choose her over his family. And, you know, any honorable man is not going to do that. That would be like him trying to tell her, you need to choose me over your 15-year-old daughter. And she's gonna be like, fuck you, dude. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, even I want to talk about it real quick because I don't want to, you know, we only have 30 minutes on air, but I want to talk to y'all about personally everybody that I've been, you know, speaking of the MGTOW, you know, talking about MGTOW and, you know, talking about issues with MGTOW, what I want to talk about is basically I've been seeing a lot of hate with MGTOW. Like, some guy the other day made a video I just randomly stumbled upon on YouTube about the whole MGTOW, saying MGTOW, it's basically the definition of the title of the video is MGTOW is for losers by some guy named Callisto. He's basically saying that MGTOWs are really just either unhappy divorced men that don't want a woman and teaching women, I mean, don't want a woman anymore in their life and teaching men to go, you know, go their own way. Or he's saying that it's just men that never want to spit out game or never are too afraid to, you know, pretty much approach a woman and talk to a woman. But, or it's just men that are sitting in their basements that never want to have anything in life. They don't have anything to offer a woman in life. You know, I find that pretty biased and bullshit. You know, MGTOW is really, the definition of it is self-ownership of the man saying, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, accept, you know, I'm not going to, you know, accept my, you know, what society wants.
You're not going to put your morals and values and your self-dignity on the line for the honor of being with a woman. It's like Jordan said. I'm not going to sit up here and do cartwheels and back flips and front rolls for you for the honor of being with you. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, or to get pussy. I hate to say that.
now, the common misconception that a lot of people, even the BFF, even though I've explained this to her I don't know how many times, that she seems to think, and a lot of people seem to think, that MGTOW were a bunch of woman haters. And that's not the case, because ideology, if you sit down and look at it from a fundamental standpoint, we ultimately want the same thing as the feminists. You know, we want equal rights. we want equal respect, and we're basically saying that it's not that we won't date a woman, but it has to be the right woman. And what I mean by that is a woman that has got her shit together, a woman that is a grown fucking woman, a woman that's not going to sit there and put others before her man, a woman that is not about games and bullshit.
Let me add to it, a woman that ain't a shallow fucking conceited bitch that thinks every man needs to look like a fucking Brad Pitt or a fucking Johnny Depp in the world and be have six pack and abs and chiseled jaw tattoos, all the whole fucking materialistic looks. A woman that don't care what you drive. She don't expect you to have some fucking low ride sitting truck with rims and all that shit. You know, basically, a woman that's basically, I hate to say this, is like back in the 1950s or back in the 1930s. When, say, you know, somebody like my grandmother and granddaddy, my own grandmother and granddaddy met, you know, those kind of relationships. Those were the best relationships of the day because women weren't taught about going after materialistic things and dating. You know, there might have been some corruption back in the day, especially back in 1912 when, you know, when the whole, oh, by the way, can I announce this on air? I've kept up with this personally, but y'all know April 14, 1912 is the 100 and I think it's 104th or 105th anniversary since the RMS Titanic sunk. But, you know, what I'm saying is women, even back in the days, one of the guys that got killed on the Titanic, what was his name? He was one of the richest guys in the world. But he had a 19-year-old girl pregnant on there. He was like in his 50s or 60s. But, yeah, women that aren't into guys like that or women that ain't dating guys, older men, because they want fucking a security blanket. Yeah, that's what MGTOWs are against, you know, and that's why we're standing up against stuff like that, you know, because, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm overweight. I mean, Rob, I hate to say this, but you're a pretty husky guy yourself. I'm an average Joe, but let's be honest, man, you know, both of us, it's even hard to get a date these days with a woman because she turns you down because she's saying your weight is the problem because you're too fat. Or how you look, how you dress, you know. Dude, I like dressing like a rock star, you know. I mean, not really a rock star, but a metalhead. You know, I like my metal T-shirts, and I just like being me, man. I like being myself. And I can't even find a fucking chick that's just like me, you know, in the metal and stuff like that. And the ones that are like that usually are lesbian or fucking psychopath or don't want, or I hate to say this, single moms. You know, it's just like this one woman was saying straight up on a YouTube video I was watching. She's saying we live too much in a single mom. These days, everything's a single mom era.
Oh,
sorry.
Kind of like pass.
Yeah. Oh, don't say her name, dude. That was Brittany.
Hey, dude, this is a rated R. Anything goes. Any views that are, let me just throw this disclaimer out there since we're almost out of time. Any views expressed by the individuals are incorporated by those particular individuals. However, any views that we talk about as a whole, as Living Loud Nation, are those of Living Loud Nation and not necessarily the hosts and co-hosts of this particular broadcast.
Yeah.
So I have no problem in using past Jade Simmons' name because attractive, yes. Shallow, yes. Racist, yes. Unfit mother, yes. So I don't really care if anybody listens to this because it is what it is, and I proved it 2 weeks ago.
okay. Well, I'm fine then with it. Yeah. But yeah, that chick, dude, yeah, she's an example of fucking what MGTOW stands for, you know, and MGTOWs are against these fucking, you know, single, we live in a single mom era that every, all these single moms think it's okay to be the way they are, you know. Oh, I'll put my kids in front of my my relationship, and a man always wants to be number one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that you need to not put your kid first in regards to life in general,
yeah.
But it's really hard to put yourself, especially her over past, you put yourself on a dating site that is known for hookups, and you wonder why you keep getting all these different guys that want a piece of ass from you.
Yeah,
and you got all this stuff. I mean, overdoing the makeup, that's not attractive, it's not cute, and you really are depressed. You are a depressed bipolar, no good piece of shit, that could have had the best dick in your life in Rob Smirnoff Puzzle. So, and that is what it is. Travis, do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap things up?
Yeah, you know what? Another thing, let's be honest, people. I've never said it on here. Stay away from strip clubs. I got a friend of mine just tagged himself in strip club I've been to in the past. Yeah, I'd sound like a hypocrite because I'll probably still go to them because I'm always getting invited by my friends. But stay away from strip clubs because, really, man, that shit's just a tease. I don't know what my
family's
done, dude.
And as the straight edge head that I am, other than my prescriptions, stay away from illegal drugs, and if you do have to take medication like myself for various health issues, do not abuse your drugs, since I don't abuse my drugs. Stay away from the weed. Well, I kind of have an on and off opinion about it. And stay away from the liquor and the alcohol. There's no point in it. That's just my opinion. I'm straight edge in that regard. With that being said, this is for my co-host Travis Steele. I am Rob Smirnoff Puzzle. This has been Living Loud Nation. We'll catch you next week on the next episode.
And the